Stretched out, and the Israelites had plenty of water to drink. But then later on in Numbers, God says, now this time, Moses, I want you to do something different. This time I want you to speak to the rock, and the water will gush out, and the Israelite children will have something to drink. And what did Moses do? This is another reason I know Moses was a Methodist. Because he said, no, I got this. I've done this before. Lord, I know how to do this. And he took his rod, and what did he do? That's the way we've always done it, and that's the way I'm going to do it today, right? We ain't never done it that way before with that speaking to the rock thing. We're going to strike the rock, right? And he hit it again, and God said to him, Moses, you will lead the children of Israel to the promised land, but because you were disobedient, you won't get to go into the promised land, right? So Moses leads the children of Israel. Now, Moses did a lot of great things for God. And if you think about it, all the things that he was called to do and all the time he spent 40 years in the wilderness, the grumbling people. I mean, think about all that he accomplished in his life. But one of the things that he'll be remembered for is his disobedience there, even though he was obedient for many things, right? And so that obedience is something we can celebrate in his life as well. Now, who took over after Moses? Joshua. And Joshua was able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, here's the interesting thing. I know it. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, it's interesting. See, right there. All right. So here's the thing. He said, Joshua, you take the children of Israel into the promised land. But he said, here's what I want you to know. He said, you're still going to have to fight to possess the land that I am going to give you. Now, here's the point of that. Here's what I want you to see. If that's what God says in our lives, he says, I'm going to give you this, but you're still going to have to fight for it. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe you were dating in high school and you had a little competition. Yeah. And that was the one. And you were excited. And maybe you had to kind of fight a little bit, you know, to get their attention and make sure that they didn't get distracted by someone else. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe as your kids grow up, you know, God says, now I'm going to save them and I'm going to use them. But you know, you're going to have to fight for them because the enemy's going to fight for them, too. Maybe it's people at work that are around you. You know, here's the point. All of us, our lives are more than just affecting us. Our lives influence other people. I don't know if you know this or not. Look at the person next to you. Go ahead. If you're single, this is your chance. Go ahead. Check them out. Look at the person next to you and say, you have influence. Go ahead and tell them that. Go ahead. If you don't have anybody sitting next to you, just tell yourself. Just talk to yourself. I do it all the time. Believe me, okay? You have influence. You really do have influence. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. That's right. Now, there were a lot of people that they were getting distracted by false gods. There were different groups of people, and they were getting distracted by false gods. But Joshua said, no, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to him. And Joshua not only affected his life, but he affected the Israelites because what he did, they saw and they followed the example. Okay, there are four gifts that Joshua is going to give us today that we can give one another. How much time do I have? They told me I had an hour and a half to preach. Is that right? Okay, good. Good, I'm glad because I want you to settle in. We're going to be here a while, and we may take up three or four offerings before we get through. Just want you to relax. You know what I'm saying? All right, the first thing that we see is that Joshua had identity. Joshua followed the Lord. That was his identity. I'm going to follow the Lord. If you have an outline in your bulletin and you'd like to, you can follow the outline. That way you know what time you're getting through, okay? There's 4 points. Okay, the first thing is identity. He followed the Lord, and because he followed the Lord, what happened? The Israelites followed them as well. Now, I want to tell you about a true story. It happened in New York State several years ago. A teacher at school, in elementary school, decided she wanted to do something special for the children in her class. So she got every one of them this blue ribbon. And the blue ribbon said this: you make a difference. And so she gave every student in her class this blue ribbon and said, you make a difference, and made them feel special. She gave them an identity, didn't she? And when she gave it to them, they all felt so special, and they took their ribbons home. One little boy there in New York State got that ribbon. You are special. You make a difference. And he took that thing home, and he decided, you know what? Instead of just putting this up on my wall, my dad makes a difference in my life. I think I'll give it to him. So this little boy in elementary school in New York State, he went to his dad and he said, Dad, you make a difference in my life. And I have a blue ribbon for you, and I want you to have this. And he gave his dad the blue ribbon. Wouldn't that be great? So his dad took the blue ribbon. He was so impressed by his son doing that. And then he thought to himself, you know, there's somebody that makes a difference in my life, and that's my boss. My boss is a great guy. My boss is always thinking about the employees at the company. My boss is always putting me first. I'm going to take this blue ribbon, and I'm going to give it to my boss. And so that's what he did. He took the blue ribbon, and he said, listen, probably nobody ever tells you this, but I appreciate you. You have made a difference in my life. You've influenced me for the good. And so I want you to have this blue ribbon that my son gave me because you make a difference in my life. And the boss was just shocked. He said, nobody ever really talks to me about anything like that. I just try to encourage others. I really never even thought about it. Thanks, that was so special. And all day long, the boss began to think about his son. He'd been working too much. He'd been working overtime. He hadn't been spending time with his family like he knew he should. So this boss in New York State goes home that night, and he walks into his little boy's bedroom. The little boy's sitting there on the bed. He walks in, and he sits down beside him. He said, listen, I want to tell you something. I love you, and I know I've been working a lot lately, and I want that to change, and we're going to spend more time together. We're going to be more involved with one another. Now, I brought you this blue ribbon. I want to give it to you. And it says, you make a difference. You make a difference in my life, and I want us to spend more time together. And the little boy started to cry. And he cried more and more, and he cried uncontrollably. Finally, his father said, son, what's wrong? He said, Daddy, I was going to run away from home tonight because I didn't think you loved me. But now, I don't have to. Who would find their identity because of you? Who do you influence? Who's watching you? Who's following you? And where are you leading them? The second thing we see in the outline is involvement. Joshua made a decision. He said, I'm going to get involved, and I'm not just going to be partially involved. I'm going to fight for what is mine. I'm going to fight for what God has promised us. I'm going to go into the promised land, and I'm going to lead the Israelite children, and they're going to follow me, and they're going to be involved as well. And that's what he did. You know, when I was in seminary, there was a professor there, and his name was Charles Killian. Steve's here. You know Charles Killian. Is he retired now? He's a great guy. If you ever get a chance to go to Asbury Seminary and get to know him, he's a great guy. He told a story one night when we were there at the seminary for ministers' conference. It really impacted me. He said that when he was in college, that you know how it is when you're in college. You never have any money. You're struggling to get by. You're working every chance you get. You're eating at the Wesley Foundation because it's a dollar on Tuesday night for spaghetti. I don't know. Maybe it's like that. It was like that for me at Middle Tennessee State. But, you know, you're always just scraping pennies together and trying to find a way to get by, right? And so it's tough. And he said he really got discouraged in college, and he'd been living that way for a long time, and he just hadn't had any money. And you know how you get tired of that. And he began to think to himself, maybe I ought to drop out of college. Maybe I ought to go get a job. Maybe I ought to do something else. And so he called his parents and he said, listen, I've been thinking that maybe I should just get out of school and go on to work. His father and mother had not gone to college. They didn't get a chance to do that. And so they said, I'll tell you what, we're going to come see you this week. And one night that week, they came to see Charles Killian. And he said that they took him out to dinner and they just visited and talked. And he said they didn't even talk about him dropping out of school or going to work or any of that stuff. They just met together and had dinner. And then he said after dinner, his father handed him a $100 bill. Now, Charles Killian, for him, at that time, that was just like a huge amount of money. He was just shocked. The meal didn't cost hardly anything. And he said, here, son, go pay the bill. And Charles Killian said, I took that $100 bill, and I went and paid the bill. And he said, when I brought the change back to my dad, he said, keep the change. He said, I was shocked. He said, no, Dad, no, it's too much. Here, you take it. He said, no, you keep it. And Charles Killian couldn't believe it. He was just kind of stunned, and he left that night. And his folks told him goodbye, and they went back home. And he went home that night, and he forgot all about dropping out of college. Years and years went by. Charles Killian went into the ministry. He was involved in a lot of things, different places. Finally, he goes back home because his mother dies years later. When his mother dies, they go to the funeral. After the funeral, they're sitting around the dining room table. His father is just going through some receipts and paperwork and stuff, trying to organize stuff after his mother's death. And Charles Killian said, he looked down and he said, Dad, what's this? And his father said, oh, that's nothing. And Charles Killian picked up a receipt. And it was a receipt from the bank. And it was a note because his father had borrowed that $100. A lot of money to him back then. So that his son might have a little bit extra cash so he would hang in there and finish college. You know, what kind of involvement do you have with those around you? Because it can make a difference in their future. The third thing is integrity. Integrity. Joshua had integrity. He said, you know, the crowd is not going to influence me. It doesn't matter what other people do. As for me and my house, what? We will what? We're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what everybody else does. I'm going to serve the Lord. He had integrity. Years ago, when I was in college, my dad had a bass boat. And, you know, after I got out of school, Laura and I got married, and in that bass boat, he's got three more behind me, a brother and two sisters, and he's got to pay their way through college. And so he decides, maybe I better sell the bass boat. So he decided he would sell it. Well, I told my father-in-law that my dad was going to sell his bass boat, and my father-in-law got all excited. He'd seen the boat before. He called my dad. He said, hey, listen, I heard you want to sell the boat. He said, I'll give you $1,000 for that boat. My dad, you got to understand, my dad's an accountant. He has to think things through. He sleeps on decisions, okay? He doesn't make quick decisions. He said, well, I don't know if I can do that. So my father-in-law said, well, that's all right. I understand. And they hung up. My dad went to bed that night and thought about it. He called my father-in-law the next day, and this is what he said. He said, I'll tell you what. I'll sell you that boat for $900. My father-in-law had already offered him $1,000, but in my father's mind, it was only worth $900. And he wasn't going to sell it for $1,000. And that's what he sold it for. Quit that coughing. It's contagious. Now, what I learned from my dad was a lesson in integrity. Doesn't matter if I can cheat somebody else, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I think is right, what I think is fair. We have two daughters. Our older daughter, Elizabeth, was in field trips like Catherine, our younger daughter, but one time Elizabeth was on a field trip in Pensacola. We were living over at Navarre Beach. You know, she went on this field trip, and being the dad, I decided I'd go with her. We went over to an amusement park in Pensacola. One of the things they had there were the go-karts. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved to ride the go-karts. Did you like to ride the go-karts when you were little? Come on, be honest now. If you like the go-karts, I want to see your hands up, okay? All right. Well, I did too. I loved the go-karts, all right? Is that the red tide that's killing us? Is that what it is? Well, I'll try to wrap this up then. So anyway, my daughter's there, and she's got her good friend with her, and it's time to ride the go-karts. And the only problem is that you got to be a certain age to ride the go-karts, and Elizabeth is not that age yet. Now, a lot of her friends in her class are telling everybody else, you know, they're telling the guy who's in charge, yeah, I'm that age, but they're not really that age. And there's Elizabeth, and Elizabeth looks up at me, and she says, well, Daddy, let's just tell them. Let's just tell them that I'm that age. What you going to do? You love the go-karts, don't you? You like to ride. She likes to ride. You know what it's like to be a kid to ride the go-karts. And I'm a dad, and I look at her, and I know that we're doing more than go-karts, okay? And I said, Elizabeth, it's not right to lie about your age. So we're not going to do that. And she watched all these other kids ride the go-karts, and she didn't ride. Now, where'd I learn that? Well, I'm Joe Jr. I learned it from Joe Sr. That's where I learned it, because it's a lesson in integrity. The last thing that we want to do is be involved in instruction. Joshua instructed the children of Israel how to follow God and be obedient to him, and they did that. And that's what he wants us to learn today. David Irwin was a guy that lost his job in midlife. He was talking to his dad. He said, I'm over 40. He said, I can't start a new career. I don't know what to do. Nobody appreciates the experience that I've had. I'm just struggling. I wonder what I should do with my life. And his father said, you know, I'm getting tired of hearing all the things that are wrong with the world. He said, you can't change the world, David, but you can change your perspective of the world. So he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to begin to look and determine what's right with the world and decide what you're going to do with the rest of your life and then do it. And David Irwin said that encouragement he got from his father, that instruction that his dad gave him, he said he started a new business, something he'd always wanted to do but was afraid to do. Now, because of that instruction, he went forward and it flourished. And he did well because his dad gave him good instruction. You know, our girls growing up loved to fish. Y'all like to fish? And growing up, we would go to the lake in Tennessee, and so we would take them fishing all the time, and we would just have a good time together. And over the years, I've done that. Years ago, there was a song out by Trace Atkins. I'm just going to share a little bit of it with you, and I just love this song. It's called Just Fishing. He's talking about him and his daughter there fishing. He says, I'm lost in her there holding that pink rod and reel. She's doing almost everything but sitting still, talking about her ballet shoes and training wheels and kittens. And she thinks we're just fishing. I say, Daddy loves you, baby, one more time. She says, I know. I think I got a bite. And all this laughing, crying, smiling, dying here inside's what I call living. But she thinks we're just fishing. Fishing on the riverside, throwing back what we could fry, drowning worms and killing time. Nothing too ambitious. She ain't even thinking about what's really going on right now. But I guarantee this memory's a big one. And she thinks we're just fishing. But you know, there's more to life than what we see. And the experiences we have make all the difference. When Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States, he appointed Charles Adams as ambassador to England. Charles Adams took the day off one day and he took his little 9-year-old son fishing. That night, Charles Adams wrote in his diary, I took my son fishing today. We didn't catch anything. It was a wasted day. 10 days later, his son, 9 years old, was killed in an accident. After the funeral, Charles Adams went home and he found a diary that his son had. He looked inside and he looked at that date, and this is what his little boy wrote that day. My daddy took me fishing today. It was the best day of my life. What's at stake in our lives is more than just us. It's those around us, and it can make a difference in eternity. Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for what you've done in our lives. what you've done in the lives of those around us. We pray, Lord, that we would look beyond ourselves and see the influence that we can have on others. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.